Hi, this is Michael Veazey of Amazing FBA. Our sister podcast, The 10K Collective, is the world's newest e-commerce podcast. It's geared to the exact needs of 6-, 7-, and 8-figure Amazon and e-commerce business leaders. It's actionable but focused on how to scale your business and grow really fast for sale or long-term profit, not short-term hacks. We have in-depth talks with real e-commerce sellers and experts in industries like sourcing, team building, and managing cash. To find us, just search your podcast app for 10K Collective. That's 10K for kilo, Collective. We are live on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Android, Stitcher, and Spotify to name but a few of the apps we're rolling out to. Or you can go to 10kcollective.com for show notes or to listen online.
I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Hey there, welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. That said, quite a big percentage, I think like the majority of podcast listeners are in fact based in the US. Some are based in Canada, quite a few in Australia actually, some Germany, India, various places. So the strategies I'm going to share today are going to be pretty relevant for pretty much anywhere in the world. Can't think of a country where these wouldn't apply, really. So the platforms we're discussing is Amazon, Amazon.com, Amazon.co.uk.de. It's all going to be the same kind of thing. Japan's a bit of a special case. Broadly speaking, what I'm saying probably applies, but I've not had personal experience of that marketplace, just to be clear and honest. So what are we talking about today? This is part of the 10-part series based around our build guide, 10-step guide to how to build an Amazon business from scratch. Now, it is not a tactical level stuff. This is the big picture stuff. We have tactical guides as well, one about product research, which you can get at the blog. If you go to amazingfba.com, you'll find that if you just scroll down a little bit, you'll find there's an offer for the free PDF guide about research. And we have lots and lots of detailed guides for other things as well that we are developing, plus a ton of blog and podcast content. Sorry, I'm trying to create a new word there, plog. A plog is a podcast for blog, I guess. Hasn't caught on yet, so I'll leave it with the blog, which if you go to amazingfba.com, just look in the menu, you'll see that you can have two options of the podcast now. One for amazingfba.com, which is geared more to the beginners and those who want tactical advice, and the 10K Collective, which is geared to more advanced sellers and bit more strategically based, although we deal with tactics there as well. So if you want a simple, nicely presented version of what we're discussing today, along with the other 10 steps, then go to amazingfba.com/build, B-U-I-L-D. And if you want to join the discussion, and you can put any questions out there or put out and share some experience on the Facebook group. We have a Facebook group that's very nearly 1,500 members, amazingfba.com/FB, F as in face, B as in book. amazingfba.com/FB. So that's the a bit of free help for you. So let's plunge into this, the seventh step. So the quick recap, step one is about who you model, and basically pointing out that I'm not basing the model that we teach on my own personal success only, although I have sold on Amazon, not doing a huge amount now, but done lots in the past and will be in future. I'm just focusing on Amazing FBA for now, because there's enough work there. But what I do is synthesize. What I do here is synthesize the learnings from my own experience, that of business partners I've worked with very, very intimately in the same business, with 3.5 years of mentoring experience with people starting from scratch, some people that get stuck, some people actually make great progress, and what the differences are there. The Amazing FBA mastermind members, who are amazing people, and I get to know their business as well. The guests, and not least, knowing a lot of Amazon sellers, the UK's and some of the US's top sellers in secret masterminds that I'm a member of as well. So that all gets synthesized together. So that's the first step, really, is just thinking about who you learn from, right? And also make sure you're modeling peak performance rather than just basing things on a one-off success that somebody had back in 2014, right? Which is too often the case these days with Amazon courses. Not always, but sometimes. We talked about learning via arbitrage in step two. The NSL process In step three, step four, we talked about learning your skills and then scaling up one step at a time. Very important. The fifth step, we talked about niche research or market research and some of the great things that people fall into there. Number six was sourcing for profit and quality. Hard to combine, but possible. And we talked about some very specific things there. So do go and listen to those episodes. It's basically episode 340 to episode 350. And if you want to go for particular episode numbers, go to amazingfba.com/number. For example, this one is going to be episode 350, I believe. So go to amazingfba.com/350 to find the show notes for that. So on to step seven. So we've done our niche research. We've done our sourcing. So we've decided what to buy. We've gone and got it. Now we've got to go out and give it to people and make sure they know it exists and that they like it and that they click on the listing and buy. So the main thing is this: before you start running around trying to get a solution on the marketing side, you need to recognize a couple of realities about marketing. The first thing is that marketing gets a bit of a bad press, and internet marketing in particular. And I don't think that's because marketing itself is intrinsically evil or, you know, objectionable, but there's a couple of things that happen because people are in a hurry and to make a sale, or they're very incentivized to make a sale and think short term rather than long term. They quite often will exaggerate the qualities of their product or service, and guess what, then you get it and you're disappointed, and that leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Now that's very true in the information marketing area, particularly for some reason, and there's a lot of courses that overpromise and underdeliver. I do my best to do the opposite of that. Part of that is the sort of thing I'm doing now, is just educating people into what I call, you know, a bit of a reality check, which isn't the same as being negative. I think, you know, some extraordinary results are possible, but only if you actually follow something that's real and realistic. So that's my personal experience. The problem with marketing isn't marketing. It's a mismatch between marketing and what the product delivers, right? That's one place where marketing could be a problem. The other one is a mismatch between who a product works best for, or a service, same basic principle, and who it should really be used by. And that comes down to the solution to all this stuff is really simple. Before you start marketing or selling something, which is what the launch part is, you really need to go back to be very, very diligent about your market research, and especially understand the consumer. If you understand the consumer's needs, you make sure your product delivers on those needs and that it does so better than everybody else's product on that very particular set of needs. Yeah, not generally better, but specifically better for particular things. And then you make sure you go and get a product that does those things, and you've done your homework, so that's going to do it profitably at a realistic selling price, not an optimistic selling price. So in other words, if you do your market research, and your sourcing really, really well, your marketing or your launch should not be a big problem, because you've done the following already. You've found and defined an exact type of user avatar, and you should be very, very specific. You know, for example, her name's Sally. She's 55 years old and likes to do sport and things around the house, but she finds her arthritis is stopping her from doing normal stuff around the house, and it's stopping her from doing things like getting in the car to drive to see her grandchildren. So let's say she has grandchildren, and she's tried various other solutions. Now we're going to try. She's up for sort of rather more unconventional alternative medicine or complementary medicine, depending on what you call it, solutions. And by the way, you should know what she calls it and what her opinion of it that is. And you're trying to sell her a magnetic bracelet in a copper kind of bracelet. And she likes things that look beautiful, so she doesn't want an ugly looking one. She wants one with beautiful designs. Okay, that's a really specific avatar, and obviously a specific problem, and it implies the sort of product you get. So if you've got that dialed in on Amazon, you cannot call out particular avatars. You can on things like Facebook and YouTube to a degree, that's sort of demographic-led marketing channels, right? But you can understand your avatar and make sure your photography in the listing and sort of language you use is exactly resonant with your target audience, right? And a lot of people get this wrong in their listings because they haven't really got any idea about target avatar. They say, well, I'm very, very keyword centered, which is very important. But they do keyword research. They do no avatar or personal research, because it's harder and you have to do a bit of sweating. We talked about that in the other episode. But guess what? If you do, you stand out, because if somebody is selling a bracelet, for example, for arthritis, that's copper and has magnets in, and you have pictures of a 25-year-old girl using it, and actually there's young woman or even a teenager or whatever, and you're target customer is actually 65-year-old plus man, which is quite likely in a field like arthritis, then they're not going to identify the picture. Yeah, sure, they like to see pictures of attractive people, but you should at least mix it up. That's one very simple example. Yeah, the sort of language they use, the style might all be quite different. Okay, that's one very simple way that shows up in a better listing. The other thing is obviously the quality of your keyword research. If you have picked a market where you need to spend $100,000 on launching a product in order to get to the top of page one, then yes, on the one hand, you could say, yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of action on page four. So if you can get to page four, you'll make some sales. Yeah, that's true. But you're going to be competing with a hell of a lot of people, and they're going to be more and more driven, I would suggest, by price as they go on further. The preferred solution normally comes up higher. It's a form of social proof. If something ranks at the top of Google or the top of any search engine, and Amazon is a product search engine, you automatically give it more authority because you trust Amazon, at least most consumers do. I do. I mean, I sell on Amazon. I know how the platform works from a very technical point of view. Yesterday, I ordered a phone case, which I ordered partly based on the fact that it was the first result in response to a very specific set of keywords. I think it was tough iPhone case for, I think it was tough phone case for iPhone X, iPhone 10, or whatever I put in. And the fact that it appeared at the top of the search results, as well as the sponsored ads, even though I know how that all works, I trust Amazon enough to go, well, it's probably likely to be a very relevant product. And I clicked on it, and various other factors, which I've talked about before, caused me to buy it. But one of the social proof things is being top of page one for your results or very near it. So I would argue if you've picked a market, you need to spend a lot of money to get onto page one, and you made way more money than you had in your budget to start with, you already lost. Okay. And that was a product selection, rather a market selection or keyword market selection, if you like, error back before you even sourced a product that you cannot solve magically at the launch phase. Okay. So if you get the phases before this wrong, then it's not going to work, which is one of the very strong reasons why I really suggest you get a reality check from somebody who knows their business about this. Not just somebody who's sold on Amazon, but somebody who's worked with other people and can explain it. Some people who've sold on Amazon are great at explaining it to other people. Other people just have a sort of instinctive feel for it, but can't put it across very well. So obviously you kind of want somebody who's done both. That's something I can offer. That's something others can probably offer as well. If you want to work with me, then I can give you, if you like, a reality check at several stages of the process. Just go to amazingfba.com/1-off1, the number one, and then O for Orange, F for Freddy, F for Freddy. But guess what? You're better off dismissing a product after you've done the keyword research, but before you source the product from China, and dismissing it early based on the keywords, rather than waiting till you've got thousands of dollars of worth of product in a warehouse in Amazon and then discovering, oh my goodness, shoot, I really chose the wrong keyword market here, right? That's an ugly way of doing it. And we've all been there if you've been out there for a while, but you can avoid so many problems by working with somebody who knows what they're talking about. It could be in a mastermind context, could be a mentoring client. If you're lucky, some very experienced seller might give you free feedback, but they generally know the value of their time these days. So it's, you know, normally going to be charged. The other point where you really, really want to check is before you order thousands of products, because obviously if you've chosen the product, even if the market looks good and the keyword data looks good, the market for a rubbish product or an overpriced product where you're never going to be able to sell it for a profit is also not going to work for somewhat different reasons. So I spent an awful lot of time with the launch process so far telling you what you need to do before you even worry about launching. And that's because you cannot solve the problems at the launch process that were created with your research or your sourcing. So then we cut to the chase now with the launch stuff, but the other stuff still stands, okay? Let's talk about the launch. The first thing is you've got to have a killer listing and then a fantastic traffic strategy. So the killer listing, you need to revisit your target customer avatar. Exactly who are you selling to? What are the demographics, age, sex, location, income? You can't make things location specific on Amazon, but you can certainly get an idea of where they might be based, which could even affect your freight strategy, right? If you know that everyone's going to be in the East Coast, you might try and get Amazon to give you, by going back and forth with FBA, you might try and get Amazon to, you know, get you to get your products to an East Coast warehouse or something like that. But certainly it's useful, certainly more useful to know income, age, sex, that kind of thing. But you also need to get psychographics, which you're only really going to get from talking to people. Values, drivers, what's important to this person? What do they hate? What do they love? What kind of things motivate them? And yes, you can't pack everything into an Amazon listing, but you can kind of hint at it with different branding, color strategies and types of photography and the sorts of language you use. Precisely what pain are you solving? And this is really, really important as well when it comes to creating the what's called the benefits. Exactly what words are going to cause people to say, yeah, that's getting the result I want. For example, are you solving arthritis? What kind of arthritis? Is it osteoarthritis or the other one? I forget which it is, but one's inherited, one's from lifestyle. What's the location and what's the problem? Is it become you're tapping at a computer for hours or something like that? Is it in your hands? Is it about walking? What problem was the ultimate pain you're solving? For example, coming back to the grandmother who cannot go and see her grandchildren because maybe her feet are damaged by arthritis. If you enable her to walk, you enable her to reconnect to family, for example. And that's very specific, and you can't go incredibly deep in communicating that in your Amazon listing, but it will guide all of your decisions about Amazon listing, not to mention any bigger marketing picture stuff you might choose to do, like running Facebook ads or which is very common way of getting launch, or running YouTube ads, which is a very good longer term strategy for driving traffic as well. So you've got to then revisit your market research, keywords, exactly what top five keywords are both winnable and worth winning. Again, if you made a terrible choice and chose a very unwinnable market and you've realized it, now you've got the products, you know, on the way over from China in a boat, or maybe even just about to hit the Amazon warehouse, you may have to change tack, but you may be able to rescue it by changing, keeping the same product, but going after more winnable keywords. What are your 15 to 20 long tail keywords with lower search volume, but very relevant, low hanging fruit? Great place to start if you're starting from scratch. Differentiation, absolutely critical. How is your product different from what else is out there? And why is this important to your target customer? For example, coming back to the phone case, what was different about it is that it had screen protection as well as edge protection that looked to me really robust. And the thing that sold me on it was really one individual infographic where they'd done an exploded diagram view of the product. And it just looked like it did exactly what I wanted to do, really will protect my phone. So it can come down to one infographic that clearly goes, this is what's different. And that sold me, basically, that and the price point. And in fact, it was on top of page one, right? So you've really got to home in on this. It's extremely direct and powerful in making conversions happen. This is not an abstract idea. It's very direct, that one. And by the way, hint, you need to express it in infographics probably these days. Not many people read all the text on a listing. I didn't. I'm a very words-based person, but I still was influenced almost 100% by the photographs and didn't really read text. Crafting your listing then. Your words, having said that, for those who do, the certain percentage of people, when they're shopping on desktop more than on mobile, will be influenced by words. So the tone of voice does matter, the energy matters, and decisions about that have to be appropriate to the marketplace you're in. Amazon.com in American sort of salesy environment has to be quite aggressive. In Germany, if you do that, you'll come across as kind of insane or very not believable. So you need to be much more calm, more factual, more feature-based. Britain's kind of a blend between the two, to name the three marketplaces that I'm most familiar with. But you need to give your listing some personality. You just need to make it culturally specific as well. That's a bigger sort of question as well. How to do that in Germany, you probably should be hiring an expert at that point. But if you're American or British or an English speaker of some kind from somewhere else in the world and you're selling in America or UK, Australia, you can probably write your own listing. You just need to think about the culture that you're selling into. As I've already mentioned about infographics, you need fantastic images. I mean, really engage a really, really excellent product photographer, preferably somebody who sells on Amazon themselves or at least understands Amazon really well. Simple ways here. Number one, you should do a very clear brief for your photographer. And if you understand your target customer and the keywords and everything else, you should be able to do that really well. The second thing is include some lifestyle shots if you can, using the product in context, and use models if you can. Again, you can often get photoshopped products, photoshopped into ready-made images. If actually hiring a model gets expensive, but can be worth it. Maybe something you'll do in the future if you're building on a successful proven listing. And then finally, I think it's great to collect product images you like into kind of a virtual scrapbook. So Pinterest is excellent. You could simply have a Google Doc with some links to to a Pinterest sort of collection. I can't remember what they call it now, but a scrapbook of some kind, basically. And you can also have a few Amazon URLs of maybe competitive products, maybe from different niches is better, that you like and you want to copy. If you just copy everyone around you in your niche, you're not going to stand out. You need to be better than the people around you, but not necessarily the same, right? So try and get away from some of the stuff in your niche and use them imagination, okay? So that's our listing. A lot of energy needs to pour into the listing creation. The keyword research and the images are probably the absolutely critical parts of that. The benefits in the written copy, in other words, reasons to buy, are important, but maybe less critical, because the keywords are the things that get it ranked on Amazon. If you pick the wrong keywords or don't put the right ones in your listing, you're never going to get ranked on Amazon at all. And if you don't get ranked high, you're not visible to the shoppers. It's game over, right? The next thing you've got to do is get the click, which means your main image needs to be good. Your price needs to be competitive, particularly if you have no reviews. And you also want the relevant keywords in the title, right? And then the third thing is to get the conversion. So you got ranked, you got the click, they're on your listing. Now, how do you get the conversion? Basically, highly targeted, relevant features and benefits expressed through infographics and as much as you can through good text as well. And again, the price makes the difference, right? And that's how you get people to actually buy. So once you've got all of that clear in your listing, you need to kind of put fuel in the car and launch it with the following things. First of all, revisit your target keywords, the five keywords that are both winnable and worth winning, and the long tail keywords. Plan your traffic channels. Amazon Ads is probably, for most people, if you're listening to this and it's new and relevant to you, it's probably going to be Amazon Ads. Possibly you can use launch services, JumpSend, Viral Launch. They're less effective than they were. They can help move the needle. And if you have enough money and the stomach to be a little bit more experimental, that they're pretty easy to use, but less likely to be effective. And then Facebook Ads to chatbot can get you great results, but it requires some learning curve that's quite steep. And for somebody launching their first product, I'm not sure I'd recommend it. For the second, third, fourth product, I definitely would recommend experimenting with that to see if you can dial in your Facebook advertising abilities. It's not going to get any easier to rank on Facebook or to get your ads to work and break even, or even, you know, work at an acceptable price. And bear in mind, this is a launch strategy. I'm not suggesting you use Facebook ads as an ongoing part of your Amazon selling strategy. I very much doubt you can get the economics of that to work. I know a lot of smart e-commerce marketers. I don't know anyone who uses Facebook ads as an ongoing way of selling. Somebody will probably, you know, get in touch next week via email, but never come across it so far. So we're talking launch, right? This is like when the space shuttle back in the day had two massive booster launch rockets attached to it, and that's what got it launched. And once it launched, it jettisoned those and didn't use them for the rest of its space mission. The same is true for things like Facebook ads and other aggressive things. Talking of aggressive, you need to plan your budget. I basically think the very simplest strategies are still absolutely the most effective, probably more than ever, which is number one, drop your price as low as you can and have your Amazon ad spend very aggressive, but very targeted on the right keywords, and then gradually bring the spend down, price up. Tried and tested, I've done it myself. People in the 10K Collective, the Million Pound Masterminds, etc., do it. Generally works very well. It just costs you decent money. So you need to be sure that you are confident this is a market worth winning and then gun for it. You just need to plan your budget for that, though. If you're selling below break-even, how much is each sale going to cost you? Plan your ad costs, assuming that most of your sales will come via Amazon ads to start with, maybe in the first week 70% or something, 80%, maybe in the second week of launch 60%, maybe by the third, fourth week of launch, you'll begin to get to the point where ads are only driving 20% of the sales, which is a great place to be, right? So you need to plan your budget for a fairly, not worst case scenario necessarily, but a pretty strong one in terms of needing to spend money on ads. Before you launch, you need to do two things, I would say. Have a plan and set up your tracking. So the other classic error that I come across with people who launch on Amazon is kind of doing a tepid half job on launching, and then starting to spend money only when it becomes obvious that it's not working well. That's normally way too late, because the algorithm, Amazon's algorithm, has judged your product and found it wanting already, or judged your listing. So at that point, you it's too late. So you need to have a plan and be aggressive, but you need to measure everything. So use software like, I don't know, Kashgar Pro, Zonguru, etc., to track your ranking for all the keywords you think might be important, and then set that up before you run the traffic, before you run your launch. That's really important. And then, as I said, when you're about to launch, set your price really low. Know your numbers. What's your break-even price without ads? What set your price to break-even to start, or below break-even if you can afford it? Do your numbers. Look at your cash flow. And then gradually raise your price so you can start to achieve your target selling price, but only when you've achieved your target keyword rankings, okay? So the keyword rankings basically meaning, you know, if you want to be number one or number three or so, number four, possibly on page one for the keyword arthritis bracelet for women or something, then don't back off until that keyword and the other keywords are roughly where you want it to be, which classically will be the top of page one. You might accept somewhere on page two if it's in the US or a very crowded market. I've seen that the businesses that I know have the most success are really dominate a small niche or are a big fish in a small pond, right? In which case you want to be like one, two, or three, maybe one, two, and three if you have enough products that you're launching at the same time on page one, but certainly aim towards the top of page one. So that is going to take some serious work and some serious analysis. You need to set up your Amazon sponsored ads as well. That's a really critical part of the process. You need to set up an auto campaign with an aggressive bid per click, say $2 to $5 a day, and a strong daily budget, say $20 to $100 a day. And there are lots of different manual campaigns that you can set up. There are a couple that Brian Johnson's mentioned recently on one of the 10K Collective podcasts. So check that out, 10kcollective.com. Look for the Brian Johnson interview that I did. Mike Zagare of PPC Entourage has also done some great work in that regard. So look for that. You can look in the show notes at the notes for this episode, which would be amazingfba.com/350. So you need to be pretty aggressive, but you need to have a good structure of the campaign. And it's a bit beyond this podcast is going to be too long anyway, if we go really into detail on that. But you don't need to be over complex with this when you launch. You basically need to pull quite a few levers. It needs to be reasonably targeted is the simple version. As you want to move into profit, you need to refine things more. That's where more detailed knowledge of how to run PPC comes in. And I'm generalizing it about a very specialist area, and you can hire PPC agencies to do your work, and you can work with a coach as well. And that might well be a wise idea if you don't feel you've got a handle on it. The last thing is a really critical rule of thumb for any digital marketer, which is monitor, but don't mess. Okay, so monitor the numbers every couple of days and make sure that you've set up your keyword tracking before you launch. It's really important. Otherwise, you won't have such good numbers and meaningful numbers. But resist the urge to fiddle. You are going to want to check stats 10, 15 times a day, especially when you launch. Now, you've got, you know, for years we've had, even back in 2014, seller apps on your mobile by Amazon and, you know, by other people. So you can check several times a day, and you're going to, because especially at the beginning, you won't be able to resist the urge. Just fine. Check the stats, acknowledge it's a useless addiction that you're going to do anyway and move on, right? But do not mess with your settings every day based on 1 or 2 days' data. You absolutely need to change as little as possible and if you change it, you need to change it and then measure for a meaningful period. So I would change only one thing at a time, and maximum every 4 days at the absolute most, right? Preferably at least a week. So don't change the wording in the listing. Don't change the price, especially. That has a massive effect on things. Don't change the ad spend. Don't change the main photo. I'm not saying don't change these things. I'm saying don't change them every day. Don't change them more than once a week, and do not change more than one thing at a time. It's so important to recognize that the data you gather about your specific product and how it works in the Amazon marketplace is a lot of the value you get from a launch, even if you've done a test launch before. And I would strongly suggest, by the way, we talked about this at the step four, which is to set things up in multiple phases. I would never suggest you just go straight from research to buying $5,000 worth of product from China and then an aggressive launch. I would always suggest you try and find a way to just test some kind of version of that product, even if it's not exactly the same, at a much lower cost. So you've already got some data, right? But whether you're going in really aggressive or do it in stages, either which way, you're still gathering data as you go. And the data has value because it means you can adjust everything. If you find that you haven't got the right keywords in your listing, then you can adjust the listing based on your Amazon ads data. If you find the price you're trying to sell for just doesn't work, you can lower the price. Or even occasionally you find you can raise the price and still sell as many units. Not as common, but does happen. The images, you can split test those and see which one gets you the most clicks and the most sales. But you can't do any of that stuff if you're messing around every 5 minutes, because you can't then differentiate cause and effect. If you tried 10 different things in 3 days, who the hell knows which one of them worked? So you must resist the urge to do that and be disciplined about that. It's one of the hardest disciplines there is in the world, because you've been very, very active. You've finally got product live on Amazon. You can see statistics coming back and you don't like them. That's when it takes discipline to go, you know what? We're trusting this, unless you made a really ridiculous decision, in which case you maybe change it in a day or something. But if you're trying to sell a product for 30 quid with no reviews and everyone else is selling them for 20, then you are being silly and you should immediately reduce your price. So that's maybe the one situation where I probably would encourage that. Apart from that, I think you leave it alone and gradually tweak the price down. Tweak the price of the product up, so you eventually make more profit and tweak your spend on ads down. And eventually you'll get to the point where hopefully you, as Brian Johnson calls it, stick the landing, which is when you've pushed really, really hard to get your product visible. Hopefully people like it in terms of the blend of price, photo, average rating, and the listing and title, and click on it. And hopefully they like enough of the rest of the listing, above all the photographs and again the price, to, and maybe the reviews, to click on the add to cart button or even buy now. And that means that you can, quote, stick the landing, because it's quite possible to work very aggressively at the launch. And again, to reiterate kind of what I was saying earlier, it's an ongoing theme. If you work really aggressively, have a very low price, and you spend a lot of money on ads, you can probably get a lot of products to rank for certain keywords. But if there are two bad things are going to happen, if your product is just overpriced for what it is when you actually put the price back up, or if it's just not that good, or above all, the actual quality does the job as good as anyone else's product, but it's just not differentiated. It looks the same. It functions the same. Practically speaking, it pretty much is the same from the consumer's perspective. In that situation, you're going to find that your product spikes at the rankings. And then when you reduce your ad spend or stop whatever other types of traffic, then your product just sinks back down the rankings. The solution to that, I'm afraid, is once again, do fantastic market research and make sure you've done wise sourcing. So the quality of the product's good, but it's still got profit built in at a realistic selling price, my friends. Realistic, don't price higher than everyone else. And they have reviews and you don't, and expect that to work. That just doesn't make any sense psychologically. And it very rarely works in terms of actual market either. So in the end, like I said, the launch should be straightforward if you've done a great job of market research and identifying a clear consumer with a clear problem and differentiating your product from everything else, and a great job of getting a sourcing a product that is different and good quality in the sense of solving the customer's problem well as build quality and materials and stuff, and you've done so that a profit, which is hard. But once you've done all of that, launch should be straightforward. If you're having to pull all the crazy levers in the world just to launch, one of those things probably has gone wrong. So quite a long episode because we're recapping other things. Forgive me doing it in that style. I'm sure it's probably wrong from the SEO perspective or something, but honestly, I think it's more responsible from the business learning perspective. I think if you actually are diligent and go through all the steps in the right order and the right process, you're way more likely to succeed. It's not surprising, right? Most things in life work that way. Is no different on Amazon. Amazon hasn't changed the rules of how business works. I think it's intensified some of them. It's made competition a hyper competition, and it's speeded them up. If anything, good business building principles are more important than ever in the Amazon space rather than the other way around. Thank you very much for listening. And in the next show, we'll talk in step 8 about meaningful measuring. We'll talk a bit more about that, what you should measure and what you should do about what your measurements tell you. And then scaling up with your own brand, how to do a private label launch as opposed to just a generic type product launch. And then getting clarity and how to really develop your skills and your expertise and knowledge and how to make that happen so that you can succeed faster and with less risk. So that's all to come for now. Thank you so much for listening, and speak to you in the next podcast. Hey there, this is Michael and saying thank you for listening to the amazing FBA episode you just listened to. Just want to mention that I mentioned at the top of the show our sister podcast, the 10K Collective e-commerce podcast, which is for 6, 7 and 8 figure sellers on Amazon. Specifically, that's who we're geared to. I'm sure that people doing bigger numbers will still have a lot of things to learn from it.
and people doing smaller numbers, sure, but it's not going to be immediately actionable for you. So if that is you, keep listening to the Amazing FBA podcast. But if you're 6, 7, or 8 figures on Amazon or e-commerce, I really think you should check it out. So I just want to give you a flavor of what's coming up, or rather just a bit of a list. Not deeply exciting as podcasts go, but I just wanted to, if you're just checking it out, know whether it's for you and what sort of topics we cover. Here's what's coming up. So first of all, an interview with our own Ashley Pierce from the 10K Collective Mastermind, who is talking about his last year in e-commerce, where he went from $750,000 in 2018 in turnover to a run rate this year of $1.25 million. So that's from scratch in 3 years. Super smart man, and he had a lot of the right skills going in. And let's be clear about that. But he didn't have tons of capital, just the conventional amount. So I still think that's an incredible result. And also, he's a really nice guy and a very, very clear-minded and feet-on-the-ground business thinker. So there's so much value. If nothing else, check that out. Really cannot urge you enough. I mean, these guys that have been in the Mastermind for nearly 2 years now have just honed their game to the nth degree. I've never heard quality discussion like I hear in there. And I don't say that because it's about me. It's not about me. I'm just privileged to work with some super smart and great people. So do check it out. Other things coming up then, lots and lots of industry expert interviews. Here's a flavour. And honestly, this is about half the list of people who've agreed to come on for an interview. So several of these are already recorded. So with Ryan Shaffett from Xcube Manufacturing, we are going to be talking about custom manufacturing in China. He's been out there about 18 years. And custom manufacturing, I can't emphasise enough how much that is the future. If you're still just purely private labelling stuff, it's going to get harder and harder to make a profit with that business model. I mean, I think it's got a year or two left in it, but sooner or later you need to get onto custom manufacturing. So this is a hyper-critical skill set that you should be learning, I believe, to future-proof your business. Second is funding, which is another massive topic, how to fund growth, because any scaling business, as Vern Harnish says, growth sucks cash. This is the law of gravity of scaling. Therefore, we've got to look into raising capital, and one way is debt. And Bruce Mack is going to talk to us about that. Aaron O'Sullivan is coming on from Systems Culture Impact to talk about outsourcing and company culture. And again, if you're scaling up a business, you're going to have a very painful time if you keep trying to do it yourself. Even if you've hit, say, $1 million a year equivalent, which I know some people have without a VA, guess what? You're not going to get to 2 million without a VA or basically a proper team on board. So that's something that's definitely a big barrier to entry. And also, to put it on its head, something that will add to your comfort and enjoyment of your business if you go with it. So that's a few things that we got in depth, just in a bit more superficial detail. Chris Shipfling of Providium with Jason Somerville is going to be talking about selling your FBA business, and they have a private equity take on that from the Wall Street side. So really fascinating angle on that. FBA reimbursements with Ben Chambers. Amazon often owes about $50,000 to $100,000 for any serious seller at some points in the year. How do you get your hands on that? It's just a fantastic source of cash, apart from anything else. So Amazon's got your cash. If you can get it out of the system, guess what? That's fantastically healthy for your business. Ash Munger's talking about quality control from China. He's got an incredibly detailed system for doing that. He's been out in China running IMEX sourcing for 9 years now, so he seriously knows his business backwards and sideways and in detail. Connor Gillivan's going to talk about the quick outsourcing system that FreeUp represents and how to outsource quickly and easily. Paulina Masson came on this morning. We talked about pricing, which is a very underrated and very important thing for driving profits. Will Churnland's coming back on, and we're going to talk about evaluating the competition from a real sort of standpoint of somebody who's not just looking at the numbers, although Will is super smart with numbers, but from the point of view of the overall competitive landscape. Really, as ever, Will's a brilliant Amazon thinker, always worth hearing. Kevin King's coming back on, not even sure what we're going to be talking about yet with Kevin, but you know what, he's always a super smart guy when it comes to the marketing side, so I'm sure we have lots to learn from him. What else we got coming up? Amazon account suspension with Joshua Price, launching to overseas markets with John Cant, PPC advertising and profit margins with Mike Zagare of PPC Entourage. What else? Chris Rawlings is coming back from Judo Launch. Presumably, we'll be talking about Launch. Alex Oxford is coming on to talk about sales tax. He is super smart at explaining this stuff in very simple terms, but yet dealing with all the details as well. Alex is absolutely a critical person to listen to if you sell in the USA. Kostas Anastasiadis is coming back to talk about short-term funding. Brad Moss is coming back, who used to run Seller Central, so he's a super sharp guy as well. China Sourcing with Manuel Bekvar. Law for Amazon Sellers with Paul Ruffelson. Augustus Kligas is coming back on to talk about various different topics. John Cavendish talk about translations. Paul Harvey to talk about chatbots. Brian Johnson talk about PPC. Greg Mercer to talk about product research. Nadine Eich to talk about Germany and customer service in Germany. And probably going to get my old accountant Penny Lowe back to talk about bookkeeping basics. Whew. We have, as you can tell, an incredible amount of really practical, useful content coming up, a lot of which is already recorded and is definitely coming out over the next few weeks. So get yourself over there, folks. It's just a place you need to be. This is not just a bunch of let's fill the airways with the latest kind of hack that's going to die in 2 months. I'm taking care to really focus on content that is as evergreen as possible. Why? Because then you listen once and implement over multiple years, or at least months, and then you get the payoff over time, so you get better return on your listening time, if you like. And I think that's a really important metric. Return on listening for me is something I aim to give you in spades. So get yourself over there. 10K Collective is the thing you need to look for. 10K Collective e-commerce podcast, to give it the full title. You can look on iTunes, aka Apple Podcasts apps, or Stitcher. We should be on Spotify any minute now, and we're just waiting to get ourselves on Google Play and Google Podcasts. So it will be more and more available. If you can't find it on your listening device, your preferred device, then just go to the website and you can listen directly there. 10kcollective.com. That's 10k, 10k for kilo. Collective is collective.com. That's 10kcollective.com. Thanks so much for listening to such a very, very lengthy post-roll pitch, if you like. I'm not actually selling anything, so it's not a pitch in any strict sense. It's free and it always will be. Of course, we will mention paid services from time to time, but I believe in giving like 95%, 99% value and a little pitch at the end. So it's not going to be a pitch fest. We are just aiming to build massive goodwill and getting ourselves out there and known. And of course, we hope to attract some wonderful people to our masterminds, and if people can use the services that some of our experts provide, so much the better. But really, that's our main thrust, is to get ourselves out there and build goodwill. So you know more than you're ever going to need to know in life about this podcast. Get yourself over there and listen. Stop listening to Amazing FBA. What are you still doing here? I'm going to go and have a cup of tea. I suggest you go and do the same, and I'll speak to you in the next show.